Amen. We'll be in 1 Kings this morning. And Sarah and I do want to thank the church for the birthday cards and different things and the kind words from folks. We do appreciate that. Another year older this last year in a lot of ways with the transition of ministries and different things. I believe we've been here at Emmanuel for about 10 months now, somewhere around there. And time sure does fly by. And but it's been a blessing. Thankful to be here. Again, on behalf of the church, I want to wish our fathers present happy Father's Day. Those of us who are fathers are in heaven, we also take time today to reflect upon them and how instrumental they were in our lives. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Here's the benefit in verse 4. "That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If my children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for the opportunity to gather on this Father's Day. Just ask you to lead and guide as your word is open, as it'll be taught from, preached from, expounded upon. I just ask you to give us all today what we need. We thank you for our fathers. We thank you most supremely for our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. David's dying words to Solomon is found here in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, I've often said what people do with the little they have speaks multitudes to where their heart is. If a man or woman doesn't have much money, what do they do with the money that they have? If you had $1 left, what would you buy? Your response would signify a couple things. For one, your response would be something within your price range. But it would also be something that was at the top of your list within the price range. If you don't have much time, what do you do with the time that you have left? If it's after a long, tiring week, you may have just a little bit of energy and time left. You may use that for family. You may use that for ministry, not something that is of a lesser importance. Say you had 2 months left to live. What do you fill that time with? When you don't have many words left with the time that you have, what do you say? By and large, I believe a dying man, whatever he says. I was thinking even the other day about our troops as men stormed the beaches. Many of them didn't even make it past the shoreline. The last thing they said was, in a lot of ways, a battle cry. Now, within that battle cry, oh, I guarantee you that battle cry was filled with emotion because I knew they were getting ready to die. Most of them didn't make it. I believe them. Within that battle cry, there was an overcoming of fear. There was a, I'm coming for you. I might die, but I'm coming for you. I believe him. David doesn't have many words left. His dying words are recorded here for us. The dying words of a man after God's own heart and its counsel to his son. We see in verse 1, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, You see, charged by definition means instructed, ordered, or commanded. David, I believe, was a good father. A good father never ceased to instruct until God calls him home. And if the father has instructed his children, the instruction should find root in the children. And in the case of Solomon, it did. I believe Solomon ended up being wiser than his father ever was. David instructed Solomon in these ways. We see in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. We'll stop right there. First emphasis, I go all the way of the earth. One theologian says this, he feels himself declining and is not backward to own it, nor afraid to hear or speak of dying. Death is a way, not only a period of this life, but a passage to a better. It is the way of all the earth, of all mankind who dwell on earth and are themselves earth and therefore must return to their earth. Even the sons and heirs of heaven must go the way of all the earth. They must needs die, but they walk with pleasure in this way through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23:4, we're reminded that the Lord is with us through the shadow of death. David's quite simply saying in this passage that he's dying. He's trotting the path that all men will trod. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And David is nearing this appointment with death and with the few words he has left as he's dead in verse 10. This is his challenge and this is his instruction to his son. Be strong. Essentially here he's saying, you be strong. Strong, by definition, means well fortified, able to sustain attacks, not easily subdued or taken, as a strong fortress or town. I'm thankful for strong fathers. We need more of them. A weak father doesn't know how to produce a strong son. We need strong fathers to produce strong sons. And I could go off on all kinds of tangents on that today, but I'm not. Of different lines that have been spewed by the world, because the world wants weak men. The world needs weak men. The devil needs weak men to move forth his agenda. He needs weak men. Thankful for strong fathers. We need more of them. For children are to be strong boys and girls and grow up into strong men and women. They need strong fathers. We need more men that are able to withstand and endure satanic attack, attacks from this world. We need men that will resist moral compromise, resist doctrinal compromise, resist ethical compromise, resist religious compromise. We could go on and on this morning. We need these men. And I'm thankful that there's some still around, and I'm thankful there's some here. But we need more strong men. David goes on to say, show thyself a man. This don't mean to simply say that you're a man or think you're a man. David says, show thyself a man. We live in a day and age where men are more quick to say they are a man without knowing what makes a man. We live in a day and age where men are more quick to say they're a man without knowing what makes a man. They're quickly to identify more so with being a man than they are to act like a man, whereby showing others that they are a man. I'm thankful for dads that keep a job, that provide an income for their families. They keep clothes on the backs of their families, their kids, and food on the table, and lights on, a roof over their head. But more importantly than all of this, because many in the world do this, men that lead their homes spiritually. David's telling Solomon here, show thyself a man. Don't just talk about it. Be a man. Act like a man. We see where King Solomon got some of his wisdom. God gave it to David. David, like a good father, gave it to Solomon. Solomon, throughout the book of Proverbs, is passing that wisdom to his son and his other children. And good fathers do not hold on to the wisdom that God has given them, but they pass it on to their sons and their daughters. And then their sons and daughters pass it on to their sons or daughters. Now, as we continue down in verse 3, King David wants his son Solomon to keep six things. And we'll look at those. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. We're going to break these down. First off, God's charge is essentially God's will. There's no better wisdom that could be given from a father than to instruct his children into submitting and surrendering to God's will. I often tell my boys to be in prayer about God's will for your life. Know what God's will is. There was a time we were hyper on the fact, or not really a fact, but we were hyper on, if you weren't in full-time ministry, then you weren't in God's will. And if you were, then maybe you'd have been called or something along those lines. I forget kind of the way all that went. But I tell you what, the Lord needs good mechanics, needs good doctors, good lawyers, good nurses. We could go on down the line. It's important. Find God's will for your life. God's will might be that you do this, that, and the other, but find God's will for your life and then ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? There's no better wisdom that could be given, again, from a father than to instruct his children into submitting and surrendering to the will of God. Now, this charge was demonstrated in five different areas, and we're going to look at that. To walk in his ways. If you're surrendered to the Lord, you're going to walk in his ways. God has a way, and it's a good way. Throughout the Proverbs, we see the paths of God. So King Solomon is echoing what David is telling him in 1 Kings to his children in the book of Proverbs about good paths and bad paths. He's instructing his children on God's path and then our path. If we choose a path for ourselves, God's path, the devil's path, God's path versus a strange woman's path, God's path versus the path of sinners, God's path versus the path of rebels. If you go through Proverbs and Solomon's counsel to his kids, he tells them and instructs them on who not to associate themselves with. Sometimes we act like people don't rub off on us. You might not conform to somebody to a T, but that don't mean you might not start looking more like a T every day. David goes on to say, secondly, to keep his statutes. Keep means to hold, to retain in one's power or possession, not to lose or part. And then statutes means declaration of the supreme power being God. So this could go without saying, but things are easy to keep unless someone or something's trying to take it from you. The world and its ruler, the devil in our flesh, doesn't want us to keep anything as it would pertain to God. They all want us to lose focus on what we are supposed to be keeping. The world wants us to join them. The devil wants to control us. The flesh wants to do whatever it wants to do, and it wants control. So keeping becomes hard when things or people are in opposition to what we're trying to maintain. And King David is telling Solomon here, keep the statutes. Don't lose sight of them. Maintain them. Even when others are trying to take them, or the devil tries to take them, or when your flesh wants to rule and reign, keep them. To me, this is great counsel from a father. Thirdly, it's his commandments. Keep the commandments of God. Command, by definition, means a command, a mandate, an order or injunction given by authority, charge, or precept. So David urged Solomon, he urged him, he charged him to keep the commandments of God. He didn't say pick and choose God's commandments that you want to follow. He said keep them, which means keep them all. One of the worst things that we can teach our children, either verbally or by testimony, our actions, is to pick and choose what commandments in Scripture we're going to apply. which ones we're going to live by. David just simply says, keep the commandments of God. Now, fourthly, it's his judgments. Judgments means the act of judging, the act or process of the mind in comparing its ideas to find their agreement or disagreement. We won't go too much further into the definition, but there are things that God has already come to judgment on. In our judicial system, the highest court is the Supreme Court. However, all other courts below it, all of their rulings can be appealed to that higher court, the Supreme Court. And their judgments can be overturned by the Supreme Court. Now, when you think about the Supreme Court, there's a court that is even higher than the Supreme Court, and it is seated in heaven. There are things that God has already come to judgment on, and there is no appeal process. So King David is telling his son that the things that God has already decided, don't retry them in the court of your own opinion or in the court of public opinion. Keep those judgments, keep those rulings. Stand by it and accept what God has to say on the matter. And then lastly, keep his testimonies. Testimony, by definition, means the word of God, the scriptures. That's what it means here in context. Then there's a few references, Psalms 19:7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Exodus 25:16, thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And then we see also the gospel which testifies of Christ and declares the will of God. That's in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. So essentially, keep the word of God. You're to hang on to it. You are to read it. You're to study it. You're to meditate on it. You're to memorize it, and don't let go of it. It will either light your way in this world, or without it, you will stumble through this life into spiritual darkness. To me, this is good deathbed counsel. This is some good last words from a father to his son. He's leaving him something to keep, to hang on to. But not just anything, it's something that will benefit him greatly if he heeds it. You know, I'm thankful for fathers that have and are training their children in this kind of counsel. These are some great things to keep. And in the latter part of the verse, we'll see why. That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Prosper, by definition, means to grow or increase, to thrive, to make gain, to be successful, to succeed. I ask you this morning, do we not want our children to prosper? I believe we all do. In David's counsel, he was trying to set Solomon up for prosperity. Not only in everything he done, but also in every which way that he went. This is the blessings of a spirit-filled life. I'm thankful for parents, even if they went through seasons in their life, and I'm one of them, where we had to learn the hard way. We set our children up to avoid those mistakes. I know what certain roads look like because I've been on them. I know what certain landmarks look like because I've been there and I've seen it. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to protect them, I have to set them up to be prosperous. Last thing I'd want to do is lead my kids down the same path of judgment that I've had to face in my life. David was trying to set up Solomon so that he could be prosperous, so that he could have the blessings of God on his life. But it's tragic what we see today all across the world. We see what, and even the Bible refers to it at times, generational sins. There are certain families, there's just a sin that's been in that family for generations. It's almost like, and I use the word loosely, it's almost like a generational curse. I use the word loosely, the word curse there, but it's almost like it's a generational thing. Alcohol has been in that family for 150 years or more. People dying from it. Alcoholics in a family. Some of them just riddled by it. I mean, we could drugs. We could just go on down the line. Just there are certain sins that just seem to be in families. It's tragic. But it happens at times. And David is somebody who, David wasn't perfect. You can read about David. David wasn't perfect. I believe overall he was a good dad, but you know what? David had some spots that he wasn't too bright. But I believe he was setting his son up for success. He was trying to teach Solomon to live a life of following God. And we're going to get into Solomon a little bit. But if you notice further on down in verse 4, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So Solomon became the king of Israel. When you reference Nehemiah 13 and verse 26, we read, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him. He was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Now, our emphasis is not on his mistakes, but on the phrase here, yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Solomon was the wisest king to ever rule Israel. Solomon was the wisest man in Scripture apart from Jesus Christ, because we know that wisdom comes from above. So not only did Solomon have what only Christ could give, David had a promise from God. Essentially, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So in taking heed to their way, the word heed means to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of, to attend to observe. That means pay attention of where you're going. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what path you're on. Take heed. It means to essentially proceed with caution. It says to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul. When you walk, you're walking before God. He sees all. He hears all. He knows all. And God wanted his seed to walk before David in truth, not in pretend mode, not in hypocrisy, but in sincerity and in truth. Now, this is counsel from a father to his son. And again, as it was mentioned in the beginning of the message, it's a dying man's counsel to his son. And again, what you say with the little you have, it means something. And David didn't have much left to say. He had lived a whole life of speaking. When you're king, you're probably doing a lot of talking. I would assume. Lived a life full of words. Was down to the end. Think this morning about some of the last words maybe that folks have told you. Maybe, and it could even be some folks don't have a deathbed. Some folks go like that. They don't have a deathbed. What's the last thing they told you? I'm not. God knew it in advance. They might not have known it in advance, but God knew it in advance. What was the last thing they told you? I think about my dad. We were sitting in at a Taco Bell. My dad told me, he said, don't follow in my footsteps. He said, don't do the things I've done. And he said, always follow the Lord. He said, and listen to your mom. And he said, and if you do that, then you'll never go wrong. 2 weeks later, he was dead. He had committed suicide. So that's one of the things sometimes that comes to my mind. I don't have much counsel from my dad. Not much counsel at all. Hardly at all. I mean, he taught me how to light a grill and charcoal grill and some things like that. He taught me how to fish, things like that. But as far as like spiritual counsel, there's not much there. There's just not. In a lot of ways, he was an example before me of, although he was a good man and had a good heart and he loved people, in a lot of ways, he was an example spiritually of who not to be, who not to pattern yourself after. But I do have some counsel from him, not long before he died. And again, it was not to follow in his footsteps. He knew the life that he was living before me and before others. I used to ask him if he was saved. Even as a young boy, I would ask him if he was saved. One time he told me yes. Another time he told me that he wasn't living the life that he was supposed to be living. And pretty much that was his way of telling me, I don't look like it. He knew that. But I do hang on to the counsel. And I tell you what, even that little bit of counsel, when I've applied it, life's been great. When I didn't apply it, my life's been upside down in a complete mess and a complete wreck. So he did have good counsel. And I didn't see him again after that. That was the last time I saw him at that Taco Bell. That was it. That was essentially his last words to me. Now, I believe God knew. God knew 2 weeks from then he'd be gone. God knew that. And I believe the Lord used him to say it in that moment, in that time. So what's the last words that's been said to you? Again, I believe people mean it. I believe it. David's dying words to his son. We see him here in 1 Kings chapter 2. And it's great counsel. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity.